Looking at the last words of Moses, we need a couple people to read. 15 verses. Which?
James.
That's all right. Going once. Going. You can decide between the two of you. Okay, go ahead, Butch. First 15 verses. 31, Deuteronomy.
And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, Thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle.
And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. Now therefore, Write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land which I swore to give them. Therefore, Moses wrote the song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I have swore to them, and I will be with you." So it was, when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "This is the book of the law, and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? Gather me to all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended.
Okay, that last verse goes with the next chapter, the Song of Moses, which we'll be looking at next time. Okay, the last words of Moses. This chapter marks the beginning of the last section of the book. Moses' long career as a leader of Israel will be shortly coming to an end. Before this takes place, there are certain important things that must take place. A successor must be named, and last instructions and warnings must be given. So first of all, Moses announces his retirement in verses 1 and 2. It says that I'm getting old. Verse 2, he says, "He said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go in or go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan." So Moses' long and illustrious career was coming to an end. He had spent 40 years in Egypt, learning the wisdom of that ancient culture. He spent 40 years in the desert of Midian, learning humility as a keeper of sheep. And he spent 40 years leading Israel. But now he has to hang up his sandals and retire permanently. He no longer would lead his people. And this must have been a shock for the people of Israel to realize this. For he was the only leader they knew. For 40 years he had led them. Many would fear for the future, for what would happen to them. Who would bring them into the land of promise? But one thing we learn from Scripture is that God buries his workmen, but he carries on his work. And in fact, if you just turn over a few pages to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, excuse me, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, and Moses is always called a servant of the Lord, It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, the land which I am giving for them, the children of Israel. So God carries on his work. He uses different people. Elijah is carried out in a chariot of fire, and Elisha, his mantle falls upon Elisha to take over for him. In verses 3 through 8, we have Moses encouraging the people. Back to Deuteronomy 31. And so he says in verse 3, the Lord your God himself crosses over before me. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. He encourages the people to say that, you know what? The Lord is going to be with you. Moses had a pastor's heart of love for his people, his concern, and so he tells them, God is going to go with you. And what a precious promise this was. Moses was gone, but God was there. He is the one who had led them from victory unto victory and met their every need. He would not leave or forsake them. And that's what he says in verse 3. He crosses over before you. Verse 4, and the Lord will go do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Ammonites, or the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. That was on, remember, on the east side of the Jordan. The Lord will give them over to you that you may do to them according to every commandment which I commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And of course, that's quoted in the New Testament, isn't it? Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is God's promise to us. Look at a couple more in Isaiah. Isaiah 41. One of the most frequent phrases in the Bible is fear not. It's said again and again and again and again. Because how can we fear if Jesus is near? If he's there? Chapter 41, verse 10. Familiar verse, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Good verse to memorize, isn't it? Fear not. Look at chapter 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and you who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Then if we look at the promises of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14. Now, years ago when our pastor, Pastor Radke, was killed in the fire, and and he was a charismatic and powerful preacher and leader. And it was as if, and I preached on this once, and I said that God didn't die. Pastor Radke died, but God didn't die. Because that's how people were acting, like this was the end of the world. Well, God buries his workmen. Now, in the case of Jesus here in chapter 14, he was going to be crucified, we know, rise again, and then ascend up into heaven. And he was going to be gone. Now he had led the disciples a 3.5 years. They depended upon him for everything. And now he's going to be gone. And so they were afraid. So in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a promise, isn't it? But he gives other promises here, much like what God told Moses. And Moses told the people. Look at verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom you the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So again, he's saying that the Lord is going to be with you in the Spirit of truth. If you look at verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, the things I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I." So he said, I'm not leaving you without comfort. And so in Deuteronomy here, he's saying the Lord is going before you. He's going to be with you. And we can take that promise as well, that the Lord is with at all times, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter how dim and dark things may be in our lives. The Lord is there. And it's a matter of faith, of accepting that and having peace. That's where the peace comes from, doesn't it? The peace of God that passes understanding. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on God's promise. And you can have that peace wherever you are and no matter what you're going through. It's a very special, special thing, but it's received by faith. That's the only way. Because you may not feel it and you may not see it, but it doesn't mean that the Lord's not there. Okay, so he encourages the people, verses 3 through 6. Then he encourages Joshua. So go back to chapter 31, verse 7. He says, "Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord said, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Now those things, same things are repeated when Joshua actually takes over. Again in Joshua 1, 5 through 8. Joshua would lead them. He would give the same charge to Joshua as he did to the rest of the people. And it was important for them to know who would succeed Moses. It was important for the people. It was important for Joshua to know that he was the one, because this was a formidable task. He could not do it in his own strength. But his confidence could be in the Lord. And later in the chapter, you see that God himself authenticates this call to Joshua before the people, as he appears before them. And so this would give Joshua confidence. He tells them to be strong and to not to be dismayed. I'll just read this to you. Joshua 1:5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If you want to be successful in God's eyes, you learn the Word of God, and then you apply it, and you live by it. It's a guarantee of success. And you can do it because it's through the Spirit. And so when God tells Joshua, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to empower you, I'm going to strengthen you, you are going to succeed, you think that might have gave him some confidence going into the battles? Say yes, I think that would. Confident in the Lord was important. And confidence in general, if you ever watch sports, you see that the team with confidence usually wins, and the team that lacks confidence finds a way to lose. I was watching the Gophers basketball game on Sunday afternoon, and they were up by 13 points with a couple of minutes, just a few minutes left. They didn't score another point, and they lost by 3 points. They totally lacked confidence how to finish that game. They didn't know what they were doing. Well, Joshua, as he relied upon the Lord, he could have victory. And whenever he relied upon the Lord, he had victory. Remember before Jericho, he sees the man standing with the sword, and he says, are you for us or against us? He said, I'm the commander of the Lord of hosts. It was the Lord himself appearing to him, and he's the one who gave him the directions on how to defeat Jericho. Most ridiculous war plan ever. Just march around the city 7 days, and seventh day walk around 7 times and blow your trumpets and shout. That's a dumb plan from a human point of view, but see, it was God's plan. And oftentimes God's ways are not our ways. So most of the times they're not. And they may seem foolish, but that's where faith comes in. Are we going to do it God's way or our way? There's a way that seems right, but the ends are over the ways of death. So Joshua could have confidence moving forward because he knew this was God's will for him. God wants you to know his will for your life. And if you're just doing things your own way, or you're just going to wing it, good luck with that. It's not going to work. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. But he's not going to direct someone that's not willing to move, not going to direct someone that's got their own plan. Now, he'll put obstacles in your way, and he'll seek to encourage you to change your mind, but ultimately you have to make that choice, don't you? So he encourages Joshua. Moses charges the priests, verses 9 through 13. They had a responsibility too. The Lord your God, let's see, I'm looking right at chapter. So Moses wrote this law, delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. That's this book of Deuteronomy. Gather the people together, men, women, little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. Every 7 years, the book of the law was to be read to all the people, that they may hear God's word, learn to fear God, carefully observe his word, Those three things. They would hear it, learn to fear God. In other words, how do you get to know who God is? It's through this, His Word. If you don't know His Word, then you don't know God. That's how you learn who He is and what He's like. Today, there are very little interest in actually reading God's Word, studying God's Word. That's why in most churches, you don't have to bring a Bible or a smartphone with a Bible on it, of course. Because they don't study the Bible. You know, a lot of preachers will take one verse and then they'll jump off it and preach a whole sermon off one verse, which, you know, is fine if it's biblical, but it's important to learn the Word of God. And I think it's important to learn how to find the passages in the Word of God. So, I think that's a good idea. I think so. Here's C.H. McIntosh. His words here are unfortunately truer today than they were 160 years ago when he wrote this in 1861. He was a preacher in England, a brethren preacher. He said, "The Word of God is not loved and studied either privately or publicly. Trashy literature is devoured in private, and music, ritualistic services, and imposing ceremonies are eagerly sought after in public. Thousands will flock to hear music and pay for admission, but how few care for a meeting to read the Holy Scriptures? These are facts, and facts are powerful arguments. We cannot get over them. There is a growing thirst for religious excitement and a growing distaste for calm study of the Holy Scripture and the spiritual exercises of the Christian assembly. It is perfectly useless to deny it. We cannot shut our eyes to it. The evidence of it meets us on every hand." 160 years ago, they were interested in entertainment rather than the Word of God. Spurgeon, he wrote about the same time. I think Spurgeon died in 1885 or something like that. Contemporary of McIntosh. He said, "The devil has seldom done a more clever thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide entertainment for the people with a view to winning them. From speaking out the gospel, the church has gradually toned down her testimony, then winked at and excused the frivolities of the day. Then she tolerated them in her borders. Now she has adopted them under the plea of reaching the masses. My first contention is that providing amusement for the people is nowhere spoken of in Scripture as a function of the church. If it is a Christian work, why did not Christ speak of it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and provide amusement for those who do not relish the gospel. No such words, however, are to be found. It did not seem to occur to him. Where do entertainers come in? The Holy Spirit is silent concerning them. Were the prophets persecuted because they amused the people or because they confronted them? The concert has no martyr's role. The need of the hour for today's ministry is earnestly spiritually joined with biblical doctrine, so understood and felt that it sets men on fire." And I'd say amen to that. The Word of God is what is needed, and people that will respond to the Word of God. And I would say this: I enjoy special music, and I feel bad we don't have more of it. But I would never want our church to be popular because of it. If we are going to be a powerful force for the Lord in Virginia, it's because from the pulpit the Word of God is being preached and is spread throughout the community by our personal witness. And that's clearly the job of the church and ministry. Preach the Word. Be in season, or be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all authority. Our job is not to get people to come because of entertainment or any other thing. Now those things, sometime we can use a play or a concert as a means of promoting the gospel, but that's not an end in itself. That's not the whole thing. The most important thing is to preach the word. And if we do that, God will honor it. And we're not going to fill this place probably if people don't want the truth. We could fill it with a rock concert, couldn't we? There's no doubt about it. But what you do to get them, you have to do to keep them. And so we have to have rock concerts all the time just to keep people here. And we're not going to do that. I believe it's totally contrary to Scripture and is not of God. And so the important thing here was that they were to hear the Word of God being read so they would learn it and fear God and then obey it. And that's what each of us should be doing, shouldn't we? We should know the Word of God. We should learn it, memorize it. Next, we see God warning of apostasy in verses 14 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach, when you must die. You must die. In the tabernacle meeting that day, I may inaugurate him." That's Joshua. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the meeting. Now, the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant to which I have made with them, then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day. I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say that day, 'Have not these evil come upon us, because our God is not among us?' And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods." Now this has, of course, been a recurring theme in Deuteronomy. We've seen this again and again, the warning about false gods and bowing down and worship. That's part of the law. You shall not bow down and worship false gods. You're not to make any graven image and bow down to it, which, of course, the Catholic Church does continually. We are told not to do that in Scripture. And so Israel did not have a likeness of God, did they? They were not to make a likeness of God. Now God appeared to them here in the tabernacle as a pillar over the tabernacle, but that was his Shekinah glory, his glory appearing before them. They did not see a form when he gave the law. They did not see a form of God. They had nothing to copy. And the people love to have things, to objects of worship. And in the days of Hezekiah, even they were worshiping the bronze serpent, the member that Moses had set on the post, and if they looked to that serpent, they would be healed. Well, they began worshiping that thing. They called it Nushatan or something like that, which means a bronze thing. So Hezekiah had it destroyed, had it broken to pieces. I think it was Hezekiah that finally took away the high places where they would worship under every green tree, and it was a idolatrous ceremonies, but it appealed to their flesh. They liked it. They liked going up the mountains. God said, "Don't do it." So Hezekiah put a stop to it, because God had said, "The only place you worship, you come before, bring sacrifices, is right here at the tabernacle or the temple." that he had designated. And we saw that more than once in this book, that there was to be a designated place for them to worship. Now when the kingdom is divided, we have Jeroboam going up north to Israel, putting golden calves of Bethel and Dan for the people to worship, because he didn't want them going to Jerusalem. But he said, this is going to happen. You're going to move into the land, and you're going to start worshiping these false gods. And then in verses 19 through 22, Moses is commanded to write a song. And verse 19 says, when the Lord... Now therefore, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that their song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And so this is the next chapter, the Song of Moses. And you know that songs are easier to memorize than verses by themselves. So if you can put a verse to a song, to a tune, it's a lot easier to memorize and to remember, isn't it? Don't you think so? Nobody thinks that way except me. I'm the only one. Of course it is. Verse 20, when I have brought them in the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to them. Therefore, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. So here was something that they could learn and could be passed on. And then God himself inaugurates Joshua to be the commander. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into this land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. So this is God speaking from the pillar of cloud above the tabernacle. So not only does Joshua hear it, but the people hear it, which would have not only allowed, raised up Joshua in their eyes, but also gave them encouragement and, as I said, confidence when they entered the land that God was going to do what he claimed he was going to do. And then the law is placed in the ark, verse 24, or next to the ark. So it was when Moses had commanded writing the words of this law in a book, when they had finished, then Moses commanded the Levites who were bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. So the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, that was put within the ark. That was the stones of, with the Ten Commandments on them. But the book of the law here was placed next to it, because this was their constitution. This was their what was going to direct the nation. But notice what Moses says here in verse 27. Actually, this is God speaking. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, well, this must be Moses talking, you've been rebellion against the Lord, then how much more after my death? Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Now notice, if we go to the New Testament, in Acts chapter 20, we see a very similar warning from Paul to the Ephesian elders. Here we have the elders of Israel and the leaders, and he warns them. He says, I know you're going to turn away from this law. This is your responsibility to make sure that these laws are enforced. He says, but I know you're going to turn away from it. Notice what Paul says here in Acts 20. And this is his swan song to the Ephesian elders. He says, I'm not going to see you anymore, but I want to give you this warning. Chapter 20, verse 28. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, and not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. See the parallels here between these two passages. The warning. And God warned, and through Moses warned the people again and again, and of course, they went astray. We see this in the church today. And we see that human nature does not change. No matter the setting, people rebel against the word of God. And we see that in the church today, and we have that predicted again and again. In the New Testament, the book of Jude, the book of 2 Peter, Paul in 1 and 2 Timothy, in latter days, men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Is that in the church today? There are false prophets, false teachers in the church today? The exact same thing. Different time, different setting, but the exact same thing. Why? Because they departed from the Word of God. People that are seeking to build themselves up and to build up their ministries. And you can get rich off religion. There's a lot of people that do it. But it's not right. And we should be aware of it. And we should, as he says here, you elders have that responsibility. You need to watch and remember. Verse 31. Take heed. Verse 28. Beware of these things and keep them, keep the church from moving in that direction. And so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that our gospel is clear and that we follow what is found in the scripture. But one of these days, you know, if the Lord doesn't come soon, I'll be dead. And then what's going to happen? Well, it's the truth, isn't it? And so is Grace and Truth Bible Church going to be standing for the truth 20 years from now, if the Lord would tarry? Or is it going to go the way of Israel? What's only going to keep standing as we are dedicated to hearing and obeying the Word of God, responding to it, faith. That's what's going to preserve us. and to depart to the left or to the right or to the left, they'll become like all the rest of the churches. And so we need to be aware of that and pray for our leadership and pray that we would adhere ourselves and fear the Lord and obey his word as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time together.